We thank you for taking the time to listen to this teaching from Metro Church. We hope this inspiring message will empower and enrich your life.
I'm going to pray. Father, we thank you so much for this house. We thank you for the opportunity that you've given us. We thank you for the time that we have together, Lord God. And we pray, Father, that as we dive into your word, Father, really that your word would come into us, Father, that it would rearrange the space in our hearts and that it would transform us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I'll tell you, we will be in Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8. If you get there and you're taking notes, this message is called Crossing Over. Crossing Over. And this is actually a picture at the Sea of Galilee in a vessel that was, you know, this is remade to look similar to those of which Jesus would have been in. And so literally this is a boat crossing over the Sea of Galilee. And so let's pick it up here. Chapter 8, verse 22. In the book of Luke, it says this: one day Jesus said to his disciples, "Let's cross to the other side of the lake." So they got into a boat and started out. As they sailed across, Jesus settled down for a nap. How many know naps are holy? Yeah. Naps are of the Lord. Jehovah Jireh, the provider of naps sometimes, he can and will give you rest in the name of Jesus. How many are already looking forward to your Sunday afternoon nap? Okay, well, don't do it now. It's not the afternoon yet. But so Jesus settled down for a nap, but soon a fierce storm came down on the lake. The boat was filling with water and they were in real danger. Say real danger. The disciples went and woke him up, shouting, "Master, Master, we're going to drown." When Jesus woke up, he rebuked the wind and the raging waves. Suddenly the storm stopped and all was calm. Then he asked them, "Where is your faith?" The disciples were terrified and amazed. Have you ever been terrified and amazed all at the same time? You're like, I don't know whether to pee myself or whether to dance. I don't understand. But it says they were both terrified and amazed. "Who is this man?" they asked each other. "When he gives a command, even the winds and waves obey him." Wow. So I want to talk to you about crossing over. And as I read the text and read it last night and read it before, there are five things that jump out to me that I want to talk about with the short time I have left with you. Is that all right? Can you write quickly today?
Yeah.
Excellent. So here's the thing. Five things to remember while crossing over. Because you know what? We're in a journey of life. We're moving from one place to another. If you're not moving, then you're not doing what God called you to do. God wants us to continue to move towards him. We should be pressing into him. Our daily actions should be a posture of leaning in. We should be moving not only towards God, but towards God, what God has for us, right? And so how many know where you are now is not good enough to stay forever? And you say, "Well, Pastor Chad, it is pretty good. This is just the appetizer." Come on, God's got bigger for you. He's got better for you. He's planned a purpose for you. And I'll tell you, you don't want to stay here. You don't want to crystallize. You don't want to just set up camp and stay here. You want to move. You need to cross over. And so five things to remember while crossing over. Number one, right direction doesn't guarantee perfect conditions. Right direction doesn't guarantee perfect conditions. Look what it says in verse 22. One day Jesus said to his disciples, "Let's cross to the other side of the lake." So they got in the boat and started out. How many people would feel pretty confident if you're getting into the boat with Jesus to cross over? Because he said, cross over. So see, what happens is people often think the moment they hear from God and begin to move in the direction he is leading, that they will have nothing but rainbows and sunshine. Well, I'm going the right direction. Hey, when do rainbows show up? You want rainbows, you got to see some storms. And what are rainbows meaning? It's his promise that he didn't leave us and he won't leave us. that he's not, it's not going to be over like that again. He's not going to press reset again. Basically, the fact is, when you climb into the boat and God gives you the direction, you can pretty much expect the storm. Wait, that's not what I signed up for. I thought this was the easy life. I thought this was going to be so much easier. Can I tell you? When you have God in your world, everything does feel easier. It doesn't mean that you're going to have perfect conditions all the time. Somebody's in here and you feel like you've been bamboozled. You're in here because you were told everything would just work out perfect if you became a lover of Jesus. Can I tell you, he will work everything to your good. He will work everything to your good. But what I can tell you is just because you know you're going the right direction doesn't mean you're going to have perfect conditions. Storms will always come. And if you read on into the rest of this chapter, what you come to realize is Jesus is about to cross over the water to do what? To run into a possessed man named Legion, who literally he ends up having to cast out demons in. He ends up sending the demons to the pigs, and the pigs run down the hill and drown. That's literally what happens in the rest of this. So what I believe, what a lot of commentary would even tell you, is we believe that this is a moment that's happening. This storm didn't just come from nowhere. We believe that there is literally a spiritual force working against what Jesus is trying to do. Do you know that the spiritual force is trying to work against what God wants for your life? That you actually have resistance in the direction you're supposed to be going. You know, it's so much easier to turn your back and walk with the wind. But if the direction you're supposed to go is against the wind, man, as long as there's resistance at my face, I must be going the right way. That's what I'm reading. And so it's interesting because sometimes the only reason the storm comes is because you are on the right course. It comes to try and prevent you from achieving what God has called you to. Someone feeling a little better in their situation right now? You've been interceding, God, what is going on? Why is this happening? I cannot understand how, God, I seek your face every day. God, I'm doing this. God, I'm doing it right. Why is all this stuff happening? Can I tell you? Maybe you're going the exact direction you need to go, but you must persevere. You must be persistent. Look what it says in Ephesians 6:12. It says this, "For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen." Say unseen. "Of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places." You feel like there's resistance. That's because the devil hates you. That's because the devil doesn't want you to succeed. He knows that wherever you're going, if you're going in the name of the Lord, he's got to do what he can to stop it. Because he understands he can't win the battle. The war is already going to be won, but he can certainly take a few with him on the way. And so if he can just mess you up a little bit, if he can just continue to trip you up using a lot of the same tactics over and over and over, we've got to become overcomers instead of going over and over and over in the same problems, huh? So it tells us that we're going to fight against, not against flesh and blood, but against authorities of the unseen world. Can I tell you that this storm that arose from the direction in which he was headed to go to a place where he was going to have to do spiritual warfare. Can I tell you, when you're headed in the right direction, you will oftentimes find a storm. Be okay with it. Man, if you you wake up in the morning, you feel like you're going to end up being in a fight, you're ready for the fight when the fight comes. Yeah? You get up in the morning, you're like, oh, it's going to be a rough day. Devil, I'm coming for you. I got 8 hours of sleep tonight. You in trouble. You know, like, you just got to be under, you got to understand, it's going to be a throwdown. You better be prepared for it. Because if you go in the right direction, there will be resistance. Are you following me? Yeah. So understand that resistance often confirms you're headed in the right direction. And people say, well, Chad, I thought we're supposed to be led with peace. You can have peace in your heart while you're fighting battles. Have you ever had a reason to fight for something and you know what you're fighting for is right, but you are ready to throw down? You are ready to give a haymaker to whoever the situation, not who, maybe it's the devil, hopefully. Okay. But you are ready to throw a haymaker. Like you feel righteous, holy discontent. You know, you know why your fighting is worth fighting for, but you know it's going to be a scuffle. Man, resistance confirms you're headed in the right direction. You can have peace, but still be in the middle of a storm. Absolutely. So what I like to remind myself, remind yourself, it's the plot twists that God writes into our stories that makes them epic. Remember, I did this series called The Author, his story in our chapter. And remember, the point was every great story, every great movie, your favorite movie, the reason it's your favorite movie is because there's some amazing plot twist that you didn't expect, and it ended up turning out to the good. You know, I bring up my favorite movie, Braveheart, where he ends up losing the love of his life, but it's what sets a fire in his soul to be a man that he wouldn't have been if it wasn't for it. Are you seeing what I'm saying? And so I'm trying to tell you that there are going to be plot twists in your life. Be okay with it. Storms will come, but God will use it for you, not against you. Amen? Number two, because I've got to keep moving. Don't allow danger to dictate your direction. Don't allow the danger to dictate your direction. When I read this, I'll tell you, the disciples, they would have turned back that very instant if it would have helped. But what does the scripture tell us? It says that the storm came down and the boat was filling with water so fast they were in real danger. And so it's not like, oh, storm's coming, Jesus is asleep, let's just turn around. It was upon them so quickly, they were like, what do we do? Have you ever felt like that out of nowhere? You just get blindsided with something and you're like, what do we do with this? And so in verse 23, it said this, as they sailed across, Jesus settled down for a nap, but soon a fierce storm came down on the lake. The boat was filling with water and they were in real danger. The disciples went and woke him up shouting, Master, Master, we're going to drown. The fact is oftentimes I myself in a storm, I do a little exercise and I think it might be good for you because I know that you have storm seasons that come and go in your life. When I have a major storm hit me, I think of this. First of all, calm down. We're going to die. And you're running around and your kids are like, what's going on? Be the parents, be the adults. Hashtag adulting. Calm down. Usa, calm down. But what I also do is the only way you can ever think clearly is if you calm down. Yeah. See, I calm down. I do my best to think clearly. And then I ask good questions. Ask yourself questions. I have great conversations with myself. Really in-depth stuff. That's a very good point. I know, that's why I thought it. But you think of this angle? Ooh, good question. I didn't think of that angle. Give me a minute. Google? No, listen. The fact is we have to think clearly. I have to get to a place where I can figure out why I am here. Why are you here? When you're in a storm, why are you in the storm? In this situation, the fear that gripped the disciples, the real and present danger, foreshadowed the why. Or it overcame the why. Do you understand what I'm saying? Why were they there? Let's remind ourselves of what verse 22 says one more time. It says this. One day Jesus said to his disciples, let's cross to the other side of the lake. So they got into a boat and started out. Why are we here? Because Jesus told us to be here. Why? Because we're going somewhere. Why? Okay, because Jesus told me to. Why? Because he had a plan. Well, if I can think clearly enough to remind myself why I'm in the storm, surely I can remind myself it's not me that has to fight the storm. If God tells you to do something, if his word confirms the leading you feel, that's important. His word must confirm the leading you feel. People feel led, but actually they're just holding the pencil. That was awful and great all at the same time, and you know it. You know it. You're like, yeah, come on, somebody. Someone's like, that was so corny, but so good. Okay, check it out. If God tells you to do something, if his word confirms the leading you feel and the direction that you're headed, keep calm and carry on. Every time God says go, this is something that I remind myself. Every time God says go, what he's really saying is let us go. Whenever he says go, remember even in the Great Commission in Matthew 28, when he's saying go, what did he just say? He said, I've been given all authority, so go. What is he saying? Let us go. Why? Because I am giving my spirit. I'm giving my power. I'm with you. Now go. So when God tells you to cross over, he's saying, let us cross over. So don't forget why you're going and who's with you. Amen? Let's remind ourselves of that, because when the storm comes, you're going to need to remind yourself of that. Why am I here? Wait, that was a leading. It was prompting. The Spirit, his word confirmed. This is why I'm headed here. This is probably exactly why the storm is here, to be causing resistance. So God, I'm going to remind myself, when you said go, you said let us go. So you're with me right now, and I'm going to continue to move forward. So I'm going to calm down. I'm going to get it together, and I'm going to allow you to fight this one for me. We try and overthink things too often. We try and be, you know, the brain, the genius. Why? Because we go, well, God gave me a brain. Well, yeah, he did. But not to, you know, cut him out of the equation. So, he won't leave you or forsake you. When God says, let us cross over to the other side, he will get you to the other side. Amen. Amen. Number three, don't allow fear to suffocate your faith. Don't allow fear to suffocate your faith. We've all had that feeling when fear grips us, though, haven't we? You know, feels like heartburn. We begin to say things that don't sound like us. We begin to do things that don't look like us. Fear changes the atmosphere. Do you understand that? Your life, the atmosphere in which you've been living in, shifts. There's a shift that takes place when fear grips your heart. Fear, it directly affects faith. Did you know that? It deludes the faith you have. Fear directly affects faith. That's why the first thing Jesus said to his disciples after they woke him up terrified was not, why are you afraid? It was, where is your faith? Because fear directly affects faith. And so again, in verse 24, let's look at it again. Verse 24, it says, the disciples went and woke him up, shouting, Master, Master, we're going to drown. When Jesus woke up, he rebuked the wind and the raging waves. Suddenly the storm stopped, and all of a sudden, all was calm. And then he asked them, why are you afraid? No. He said, where is your faith? And they were thinking, I had faith until I allowed fear to take me. I had enough faith to get in the boat with you. I had enough faith that we were going to cross the other side, but then something happened and now I am terrified. What happens is oftentimes we have enough faith until fear grips us, and then our faith falls to the wayside. And God, he wants to console you from your fears, but he's saying, what happened to the faith that you stepped into the boat with? Because remember, we believe, so then we move. And so since you're moving, remind yourself why you're moving. Because if you can remind yourself that he's coming with us, then why should we fear? Well, Chad, because the natural is a scary place. Yes, but it's less scary when you're walking with Jesus. Yes? Okay. I got a few people that are in on that one. Fear, it sucks faith right out of the atmosphere. How many people have ever grown up watching Superman? Anybody? Well, fear is faith's kryptonite. It literally will weaken your faith. Whenever fear is allowed to grow, you're slowly putting faith to death. That's just the way it is. The two can't, it's kind of like, you know, holy and evil. They can't they can't live together. There was a big word there, but I'm just not going for it. Cohabitate. Okay? Whenever fear is allowed to grow, you're slowly putting faith to death. And that is why Jesus brought the focus off of their emotion, listen to me, and back on his assurance. The devil will always try to make you focus on your emotions, where God is just saying, hey, I'm reminding you of my assurance. Stop looking at your emotions and remember his assurance. What is faith? It's having an assurance of the thing that you believe and hope for. Man, God, you said it's going to happen. And even though I can't see it right now, I have this assurance that goes beyond my understanding, because that's what faith is. It allows me to shift into an overdrive that my body has because of who you are, to believe for something that I cannot yet see. So, man, next time the devil tries to grip your heart and he starts sending you all those crazy emotions, you know, now the devil's texting with emojis and they're all mean ones. And you've got all these things coming at you and you're getting hit. Stop paying attention to your emotions and start focusing on his assurance. Yeah. Amen. So in other words, what am I trying to say? Jesus is saying, have faith in who I am, in my abilities, not how you feel and whether or not you can fix it. That's what we're seeing here when we read the scripture. I believe God will allow us to go through storms, big storms, storms that make everything seem completely out of our hands. Why? So that he can teach us they were meant for his hands. That they could only be fixed by his hand and by his word. God, this storm is just too much. And he goes, I know, because you shouldn't be dealing with it. You shouldn't be trying to fix it. Stop trying to take control of every situation. He said, this one I allowed into your life so that it would remind you, you can't control it. The quicker that we understand my hand can't fix this, the quicker we can just give it to God. You're saying, God, this is just too much. And he goes, yeah, it's because you're trying to do it on your own. This is just too much. I believe God will allow us to go through the storm so we can grow through the storm. Absolutely. You say, God, this isn't fair. Why would you? He's saying, come on, you got to grow. You've been sitting down with the bottle far too long. Come on. You've only taken baby steps and you're 12 years old. Come on, we got a place to go. And if I don't get you up and move, you know, maybe the fear will send you in the right direction. Or maybe the storm will send you in the right direction. He will use that. He will blow you in the right direction if you allow yourself to take. We hold on so tight to the wheel. The storm comes and we're holding on so tight, you know. And now all of a sudden it's like, Jesus, take the wheel. I can't do it no more. I should have probably listened to that Carrie Underwood song before I tried to sing it. You should have had the whole part too. Like, no, I wouldn't know. I couldn't pull off her wardrobe. So I believe God will allow us to go through the storm so we can grow through the storm. Number four, this is big. Don't jump ship before your miracle. When I read this, I go, whew. So here's one of those things. You know, you remember when we talk oftentimes about Peter and you know, how he denied Jesus, but yet he was the only one that followed Jesus all the way through the situation after crucifixion, right? And then we also talk about Peter, how, well, you know, he was the one that sunk, but we got to remember he was the one that walked on water for a little while there too, right? And so in this situation, when I look at the disciples, we could easily go, look at them. They were so afraid. Wimps. They were smart enough to go to Jesus. Some of you are just running around in the boat looking like crazy people, not going to Jesus because you think you can still fix it. All right, come on. You're questioning whether the storm's bad enough or whether you can actually just jump ship. Maybe I'm on the wrong boat. Was Jesus in the boat with you? Stay put. Just a thought. Don't jump ship before your miracle. The disciples do teach us something very important here. They teach us to run to God before going to plan B. Oftentimes we want to talk about plan B, and you know, I know you. You are prepared. Your preparedness is great. You have a plan B. You are so prudent. You've got your emergency get out of town bag ready. Your BOB, your bug out bag, is ready to go for all those that are watching the apocalyptic signs. You guys are so ready. But God's not looking for you to bug out. He's looking for you to turn to him so that he can change the atmosphere in your world. Rather than you running away, he wants to change your world, not just for you, but for those around you. He wants you to become an agent of change that affects change for Jesus rather than scared and going, I must be on the wrong boat. Stay in the boat long enough to see your miracle. So too many Christians have decided to jump ship early because of their emotions. They focus so much on their emotions rather than his assurance. Oftentimes they jump ship because their emotions, because they thought it hasn't, he hasn't done it yet. It's not happening. It's too hard. It can't be God's leading or direction. If I was supposed to stay in this church, I wouldn't feel so vulnerable. God wouldn't put me through all of this. So they decided to jump ship rather than bringing it to God, leaving it in his timing. Well, I just must have heard God wrong. No, you're just not used to storms. you're actually doing something with your life now. And the devil actually hates you and has a reason to bring storms upon your life. When you did nothing and sat there and played Xbox forever, and now you're actually opening your Bible, now the devil doesn't like you. Now the devil actually is worried about you. When you actually speak up at your workplace and start being bold for the sake of your faith, now the devil doesn't like you. And he starts sending some resistance your way. Why? Because you're finally doing something. Oh, you're finally doing something. But you know what? We go, oh God, this is just too much. But the more you do, the less you do. The more I do for him, the more it's got to be him doing it. That's what I've come to realize. If you think you're just going to, you know, be a crusader for Christ and just go gung-ho and God, I got this one, take a break. The more you do for Jesus, the more he better be doing it. The more you say, God, I will, you better saying, God, we will, right? God, we're in this together, right? You said go, so you meant let us go. So I'm just going to kind of, I'm going to let you. We're a great team. Great team. How about this? I will just believe that you can, and I will lay hands on the sick, and I will see them well, not because I had anything to do with it, only because my faith was in a place where I believed you would, and I was willing to be used. If you want great things to happen, you've got to persevere through the struggles. You've got to persevere through the place where it's uncomfortable. You've got to get through the resistance so you can get to your miracle. All right, you're with me here. So don't be another statistic. Don't jump ship. Don't say it's too hard. Don't assume because the storm is here, you're going in the wrong direction. If there's peace in your heart, maybe you just got to grow through it. Good. If you are where God has called you to be, hold on. Your miracle is coming. Yeah, yeah. God, I know without a shadow of doubt. I've talked to a few friends that have gone and you know, they feel like God's asked them to move to a different city or to a different state and come alongside another ministry. And I encourage them. I'm like, what's your pastor think about this? Is this what you're, you know, called to do? And there's such peace. There's such peace. And then when they get down there, all of a sudden they start getting hit with storm after storm after storm. And I just keep telling them, man, if God's in the boat with you, wait it out. Yeah. If God's in the boat, just keep bringing it back to him. You know what? If you believe God's called you here and there's still peace in your heart about the situation and his word has confirmed time and time again, all you got to do is wait. You got to say, God, come on, you told me to go. Let us go. You're here with me. I'm just waiting on you. You remember when, and I was one of the biggest offenders, you remember when it was a really, really trendy thing to wear those huge vests that looked like life jackets? You know, the ones that like Marty McFly wore, you know, and too many Christians are walking around the ship with Jesus, but they're wearing life jackets because they don't have faith in Jesus. And you're like, oh, just the way they talked, they don't believe he's in the boat with us. Man, the way they reacted, careful. You know, when you're on an airplane, they're like, don't pull the tabs until you get out of the air. But, you know, you're like, I got to keep my distance from that person because they're trigger happy and I don't know what they're going to do. You know, the fact is we have to have faith that he's in the boat with us. We've got to believe that he's going to work for us because he didn't call us to drown. Your miracle's coming. Don't jump ship. Lastly, number five, as the keys come back. Lastly, number five, don't forget who is with you. Don't forget who is with you. And I know I've talked about this. I've already touched on this. But remember whom your faith is in. The disciples, verse 25, it says, the disciples were terrified and amazed. Who is this man? They asked each other, when he gives a command, even the wind and the waves obey him. They're having to remember, like, wait a minute, I thought I knew him, but who is this man? See, oftentimes, we're like, wait a minute, God, it's been a while since I've seen you move. I've got to remind myself that you are the Alpha and the Omega. It's been a while since I've seen a miracle in my life, even though I've been praying. I got to remind myself that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. We have to remember who's in the boat with us. Jesus is bigger than your situation, more powerful than your circumstance. When we know how endless his ability is and how intentional his love is towards us, we can be assured that our faith in him will never lead to death. You will never drown. It won't lead to death, but life and life eternal. Amen? God is good. He's for you. He has a purpose and a plan for your life. He never intended on bringing you halfway. He never intended on saying, let us go. Let us cross over. But yeah, you're only going to make it halfway. God is a God that will bring you to the other side. Where's God calling you to? What boat are you having to step into? Maybe you don't have a relationship with God, and right now you're on the shore of your spiritual life trying to figure out whether or not today's the day you're going to step into the boat with Jesus.
We hope you've enjoyed this teaching from Metro Church. For more information about Metro Church, please visit our website at www.metro-church.net. You can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter.